lot of things going on here right now, right? There's numerous incentives. There's the social incentive associated with, you know, performing well for his teammates, as well as sometimes monetary incentives. So athletes can make millions of dollars in bonuses depending on their performance. So all of those things come into play that and can cause somebody to choke under pressure. And what we found in our study was that it seems, at least in the case when large financial stakes are on the line, that how you perceive losses or how you feel about losses can really have a dramatic impact on your performance.
How much of this anxiety, these problems that basketball players or even artists who perform concerts or whatever, how much of the problems they have with choking results from mere psyching themselves, overthinking?
Yeah, I mean, so it's hard to know exactly what's going on in those situations. We've studied this specific case as looking at high-stakes financial conditions. But it seems that choking could be psychological, right? Because they practice these tasks over and over again. So clearly something is going wrong in the way they're processing what's at stake when they're doing these tasks. So I would say that it's psychological, but it still remains to be seen exactly like what is, in those situations when you're an artist performing in front of a crowd or you're an athlete, what exactly is happening? So we think that in the case of financial incentives, it has to do with loss aversion. But in the case of the artist performing in front of a crowd or even the sports situation where there are social incentives involved, we're still trying to figure out what's going on there.
You were able to zero in on part of the brain that influences performance. Could you tell us a little bit about this and how that particular area of the brain affects performance?
The area that we sort of focused on was the ventral striatum. And that area is deep in your brain, and it's known to be involved in processing rewards. And it's also known to have some influences on motor performance, on how you move. And what we found in our study was that area was involved in mediating the responses of how people perform for given incentives. We also found that there was, specifically in the situation where people choke during movement tasks or tasks that require some motor dexterity, there's sort of a disconnect between ventral striatum, this part deep in your brain, and the motor cortex, which is involved in encoding your movements and how you move through when you're doing certain skilled tasks. So we think that a decoupling between the ventral striatum or these areas not being able to talk to each other very well is what causes you to choke under pressure.
Did you come across anything that was surprising?
This whole idea of loss aversion did come as a surprise to us because we were presenting people with potential gains. So we told them, you know, you're doing this task to win this money in certain situations. And so we were surprised that loss aversion could actually predict how they were going to perform in a case where there weren't any explicit losses. And we thought that the reason that this might be happening is because people are sort of reframing the task. They're thinking of it as a gain when they first see it in that condition where we offer them $100 to win. And then they start to get worried about a loss of the gain, even though they never received it. And this is sort of what gets them to choke under pressure. We were really surprised when we saw that.
Did you find any basis for developing a kind of a technique of self-help to help people and to keep them from choking under pressure?
I think it can be applied. So we're still trying to figure out exactly what the best cognitive strategies are to go about stopping people from choking under pressure. I think what our research suggests is that if you are worried about one of those people that are very worried about losses, one thing that you can do is to try and sort of not put so much stress on a single event, but rather think about all of the possibilities that you have to do well. So maybe keep a positive attitude where you're not so focused on loss. That can sort of help you. But the other thing that's interesting is what does research suggests by framing incentives properly, given somebody's loss aversion, you can have a drastic improvement in their performance. So as an example, your boss, if he knows your loss aversion, when he's setting up your bonuses, he can say, look, I know that you're very loss averse, so you'll actually respond better to an unconventional bonus where it's framed as a loss if you don't successfully achieve a task. So endow your employee with money and then take away if they're unsuccessful. And this way, you're sort of capitalizing on what their motivational tendencies are and how they process loss aversion. And this might be able to actually help them do better and achieve more of their bonus.